I'm going to invite you to turn in your pew Bible this morning, and we are on our second message here of our sermon series, A Hot Mess. Now, I hope that you left here last week and you learned something about my family's a hot mess, and we all have hot messes from time to time. You cannot escape that, and it's real. This week, we're going to talk about our schedule. Now, that can look in many different ways to a lot of different people in their lives, right? It can be your work schedule, it can be your family schedule, it can be your whatever it might be that's going on. And what does that look like? And what is God doing with that or not doing with that? And what are you not allowing? So we're going to read a set of verses here, several sets that are going to tie into this morning, and then we'll dive into our message. So turn with me. We're going to start at Genesis 2, verse 2 through 3, and it's a very common set of verses. You guys know this, but let's get started. The word of the Lord. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And now turn with me. I'm going to go in order here. We're going to go to the book of Psalm 84, verse 10. I'm going to bring some meaning to this verse here this morning. About page 923. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And then let's go back to the book of Luke. And chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. Now this set of verses, Jesus is a young man. You might even call him a boy. Here he's 12 years old. And he travels with his family for Passover, and they're getting ready to go back to their town. And he stays in the temple, and he stays, and he's visiting with the priests. And then we pick up this set of verses here. How many of you ever left a son or daughter in church? Right here. You see about a hot mess. That this is a hot mess right there. You need to realize that, right? Jesus stays behind, and they forget him. And so here we go. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast, according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And I want you to hang on to that last verse. When Jesus says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And so that'll be important in our message here this morning. And then to the book of John. John chapter 5, verse 17. It's just one verse. Page 1654, if you're following along with me. Jesus said to them, "My father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you bless this message today. May these words be yours, Lord, and never mine. I pray, too, that you fill this place with your Spirit. Those that have gathered here today, Lord, I don't know where their hearts and minds are at, but you do. And may you draw them into you this morning, and may you speak to them in a fresh, new way. And Lord, may you bring their spirits to life through your Spirit, Lord, in the words that they will hear through my voice that you speak to them today. And Lord, so may you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I'm going to tell you about a hot mess that I had one time in my life that a few years back. I was so busy that Dory and I, we had three young boys at home. We had three under the age of five. And she was a stay-at-home mom. I was working full-time. And we could barely get the lawn mowed on our acreage east of town. It's a good-sized lawn. We did our best to get the front lawn mowed around the house, but we just couldn't keep up with the backyard. Things were busy. It was in the springtime, and there's a lot going on. And finally, we got to the point where we couldn't keep up. The grass is probably this tall in the backyard. All right? I'm not kidding you. And so I got sick of it one evening, and I went in the shed, and I got the swather out of the shed, and I actually windrowed the back lawn because it was so busy. Now, have any of you had a full schedule where you get into situations that look like that? And I know that you would say, yep, I've been there. I know what that's like. I've had it in ministry already where I had one night, I don't do this very often, but one time I had to be at three places that evening, and I didn't know how I was going to make that work. And of course, you can't be in two places at once even, let alone three. And so I want you to think about your life this morning. What does that look like? How healthy is your schedule as you live life? And if I was to ask you this morning some of those questions, how would you answer that? So here's what I want you to think about. There is no fancy way or quick fix to deal with a full schedule. How do you deal with that? What does that look like in your life as you're a follower of Jesus Christ in this world? And so that's what we're going to focus around here this morning. In fact, some of you might find yourself in a hot mess with your schedule. Maybe it's coming this week. Maybe you've been through that this past week. Whatever that looks like. And so this morning, the reason we're talking about this schedule being a hot mess is because there are repercussions of a chaotic and full schedule that affect those closest to you. You're not the only one that's involved in this chaotic mess of a schedule. It affects those by you. Look in your pew this morning. Maybe your spouse sitting next to you, or your children, or grandparents, whatever it might be, you need to realize that your schedule is far-reaching. It has many fingers. They are the ones that are most directly affected by your schedule and how you manage your time or mismanage your time. No amount of fancy technology can help you. How many of you remember when the BlackBerry first came out and you could get your schedule on your phone, right? Everybody thought, oh, that's going to be the answer to everything. Guess what? Your schedule's still full, isn't it? It might even be fuller because of that. And so this morning I want to share with you three practical biblical principles that you can practice in your life to keep your schedule from becoming a hot mess. How many of you are interested? Anybody? All right, the rest of you can go home for the day. All right, so we're going to dig in. We're going to get started. So if you got your outline with you this morning, I'm going to just list these out to you. So here's your first step, right? Now, you might think, oh, this is routine, Rob. I get this. But God says he wants us to have Sabbath rest in our lives. All right? Now, we know the Sabbath is on Sunday, and we take time to worship. So I am assuming that in this Sabbath rest, that you are going to church and that you are worshiping. And so, no, I'm going to go one step beyond that this morning is where I want to focus on today. So I'm not putting God on the back burner on Sabbath rest. Don't hear me say that, because that is the most important thing you can do, is to be worshiping God on the Sabbath. But then what does rest look like? What's the rest of that day entail in my life this morning? And how does that affect my schedule, my routine from day to day throughout the week? And so I'm gathering this information from Genesis 2, which I read to you. I won't read it to you again. You know that verse very well. But God creates the earth and the heavens in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Now, why did God have to rest, right? He's an almighty, powerful God. He did not get tired, as you might think the verse says. So wait a minute. Let me share another verse with you this morning. Jesus says in John 5, verse 17, my Father is always at his work, and I am working. So how can this be if God says in Genesis 2 that he rested on the seventh day, but then we get to the book of John, he says he's always working. And so is Jesus. And here's what you need to realize. When you get into theology, you need to take those two verses and you need to put them up beside each other, and we call that biblical tension. What is God trying to teach us in this set of verses here for our lives. And let me share that with you this morning. I believe that in Genesis 2 and in John chapter 5, that God is putting together in motion a model for you and I to follow when it comes to Sabbath rest. This is what he wants it to look like in our lives. And God is putting this in motion through Scripture. He's telling us this is how it needs to look. This is what you should be doing. His whole desire for you and I is that we become more like him. That's what he wants. He wants us to become more and more holier, right? Doesn't mean you're perfect. We're still filled with all kinds of grace, but he desires for you to be more like him, and part of Sabbath rest helps you get to that area of your life. Now, keep in mind that the topic I'm giving you today is about a full schedule. Wrestle with that. Put that in tension. So how are you doing with that in your life? So how many of you know that there's a difference between rest and Sabbath rest? Because they're two totally different things. This could very well make or break your schedule today. If you truly understand this. Rest and Sabbath rest. Have you ever had it in your life when you've had just a great night's sleep, and then you get up and you get going and you realize that you're still tired? You ever had that? Where you just wore out. Right? I talked to somebody this morning that said, you know what, I got to go in for a stress test this week. I just don't have what I used to have. I'm a little tired. And maybe that's you this morning. You see, and what you're missing is you're missing Sabbath rest for your life. I mean, this is a great topic for this time of year, because some of you, you'd love to get up early in the morning. There's been some beautiful mornings. The sun, it's bright out till 10 o'clock at night, and it's long days, and you're busy, and it's active, and it's a perfect time to be talking about this. Sabbath rest is pausing from the work that God has set out for you and I, and we break away from it. Mentally, physically, break away from it. For that one day in our lives, including worship, which I talked about as well, but you break from it. It means that you do something else totally different with your time. That's what that looks like. You work something into your schedule that's not normal, that's not busy, that fills you back up. That maybe gives you joy. It gives you life. It's what that looks like. This is the type of rest that can radically change your life, and it can radically change your schedule when you do these types of things. And young people, start early, because those habits get into our lives, don't they? As what does Sunday look like? What does Sabbath rest look like in your life? And we can answer that in many different ways. And all of them are just fine as long as you do one thing in your life. You keep God first. And you worship. Right? You know, you and I make faith choices every day. God says that Sabbath rest must be one of them. Part of your faith journey. Part of your lifestyle. Part of what you do on a regular basis. So you must choose God over things. That's what you must do. Right? And maybe it's activities. Maybe your schedule is so full of family commitments or sports commitments, or work commitments, or wherever it might be, because I realize you're all in different places. But you must choose God over things. That's what he wants for you and I. invest our best in the things of God, and He takes care of the rest. Here's my second thing for you this morning. Invest in time with God. Right? Notice how I said that this morning. Invest in time with God. Now, I brought along some stuff with me this morning. I brought two glasses along so you can get this. Morgan, if you got the video camera up there this morning, can you focus on this real close? Throw it up on the screen as well. I'll put it out there so you guys can see. Can you see it there? All right, Morgan's working on that for me this morning. All right, so I have two glasses of me this morning. You can see that one is way fuller than the other, and I put some juice in there so you can see it if you're in the back this morning. If it's on the screen, zoom in real close just for a moment and let them see this. All right, here's my point this morning. Whatever you pour into yourself, now imagine this is your life right here. One of these is your life. Okay, whatever you pour into yourself is what you're able to give. How many of you, when it comes to time with God, this is you? Talk to me about your summer. Where are you? Is it all about you or is it about God? Now that probably hits home for some of you really hard. But my job as a pastor is to point that out to you in your life. How's your time with God? I hope and pray, and I know that some of you are, you look like this. You're full. Your schedule's well managed. You're healthy. You're balanced. Because you spend an adequate or a good quality amount of time with God. How are we doing? Because there is a noticeable difference in those two people. They both can call themselves followers of Christ. They both can come to church every Sunday. They both can make it look like it's really good on the outside. But what does it look like on the inside of your life? Now, let me go just a little further this morning with that. The verse in Psalms. Go back to my PowerPoint, if you would, this morning. I think it, yes, in the blue box on the screen. Remember I said I was going to go a little deeper with this verse this morning? Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Does anybody know how long a thousand days is? Do your math, 365 a year, not quite 3 years, right? Did you know that you could get a master's degree in 3 years? Did you know that most of us, we go through junior high or our middle school, 6th, 7th, 8th grade in 3 years? 3 years, we have, you get, how many of you are already sick of the political advertisements on TV that are already a year ahead? Every 3 years we get into this, we get the political announcements. 3 years is a long time, isn't it? And what that verse is saying to you, now look at this glass over here, that one day with God is better than a thousand days doing something else in your life. So when I say to you, are you investing time in God? What's that looking like for you? Maybe it looks like that, right? But really, what God wants is to look like that. And He says, when you can fill your time with Me, your schedule is not going to be so chaotic. Your schedule is going to be about the right things. That's what He says. So how many of you got hot messes of a schedule in your lives? And get this. What are you filling it with? Because if it's not God, and your schedule is a hot mess, and you're overbooked, and you're cutting your backyard with a swather, you're probably not filling it with the things of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning about your schedule. Because when you start filling it with the things of God, you're going to start to realize that you're going to be about the business of God. It's going to come out naturally in your life. People are going to see it. People are going to notice the way that you live. And get this, your church will see it. Your community will see it. Your school will see it. And the way that you live your life. When your glass is full with God. Take a deep breath for me a moment. Because I need to. Right? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's pretty real. About how am I doing in my spiritual life when it comes to my schedule with God. Let me go to the next point with you this morning. Third step, give God your schedule. Did you hear that this morning? Because I think that's really hard for a lot of us to do that, right? I want you to think about the life of Jesus for a moment. Jesus was on this earth for about 33 years until he gave his life for you and I and our sins. Three of those years, he spent working miracles, teaching people about the way, and healing the sick. That's what he did. His schedule was full. He's busy. But Scripture tells us a little bit about Jesus' life before any of this happened. We don't have a lot about his life. And we learned about, you know, in the verses about Jesus and his family. They traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they left him behind in the temple, and he's hanging out with the teachers, and they're having conversations about faith and what life should look like, and he's teaching them. And then we come to Luke 2, verse 49, and he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Is what he says to them. Remember I said, and I read the verse, that hang on to this verse. And here's what I want. This is why I want you to hang on to it here this morning. Did you catch the last statement? That Jesus had to be in his Father's house. Right? Here's another way that I want you to think about it this morning. When you think about your schedule and the way that you live your life. I should be involved with my Father's affairs. You should be involved with kingdom things in your life, is what he says. When you give God your schedule and you say, "God, what do you want me to do this week? Who should I go visit? Should I keep this job or not?" Wherever you find yourself in life, what your schedule looks like, you give it to God and you ask him to fill it for you in your life. And he might ask you to get rid of a few things. And you need to be okay with that. But here's the point. When we do that, we become involved in our Father's business. And if you're a follower of Christ, what do you think he wants for you and I? To be about his business. If you're coming to church and you're trying to figure out how to become more like Jesus Christ, be about the business of the kingdom of God in your life. Give God control of your schedule. And if you can do that, you'll take your schedule from a hot mess to a manageable calendar in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's going to take a giant step of faith to live like that. But I also would tell you this. Here's the promise. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Right? Ask God to take your schedule over if it's hectic, if it's a hot mess. Ask God to invade your life with ways that are about his business and his kingdom. That's what he wants for you and I. And as you press into him, now it's not going to happen overnight. Could it happen? Yeah, most definitely. But the more you start seeking the kingdom, the more your way of life is going to change about the kingdom. The doors will begin to open. Life will start to look different. When you start to find time for Sabbath rest, when you set aside time each day for the investment into God and into his word, into building relationships with him, this is how you'll find peace in chaos. This is how you'll get control of an out-of-control schedule, a hot mess of a schedule. You give it all to him. Now, I have no idea what your life looks like today. But I guarantee you that if you're far from God and your glass is empty, you're going to have, more often than not, hot messes of a schedule. So you got keys now how to manage that. Where should you put your time? I give you to those this morning. You know what you need to do to make some changes in your life from a biblical perspective. How many of you would, and this is, you know, as I wrap up here this morning, how many of you would look for less things to do throughout your week? Don't raise your hand. Because I think every one of you would put your hand up today because of the culture and the world that we live in. Because it's forcing you to move away from God. So what are you going to do with that? Your job is to buck the system. Your job is to go against the flow of the world. To stand outside of it, to look different as a follower of Jesus. And that's how you do it. Get rid of the hot mess. Live for Christ. And all of God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is possible through you and through you alone. Lord, we know that today that our schedule pushes hard on us. Lord, it pushes us into areas that you maybe don't even want us to be in, Lord, and yet we go willingly sometimes. And so, Lord, may we leave here today evaluating our lives. Lord, may you cause us to look deep inside of how much time do we actually give God and build in that relationship that we can grow in that has eternal consequences for us. Lord, help us not to look at the things of this world so close and become so deeply involved that becomes our focus. Lord, help us to manage our lives in the way that you want us to manage them. We thank you for the tools that you've given us this morning, the way that you call us to live, to be holy like you, to rest. May you fill us with your spirit today. And walk with us. In Jesus I pray. Amen.